You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. Hello, hello, it's Brooke Devard. You're listening to the Naked Beauty Podcast. I am joined by Anya Santana. Beautiful name.
Thank you.
It kind of sounds like a famous person's name already.
Wow.
It does. Anya Santana.
It's Russian. I don't know where my dad got
interesting
a Russian name from the Dominican Republic. I was like, Dad,
so
what were you lingering around doing?
So you are Dominican.
Yeah.
Both of your parents?
Both my parents. I was born there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Super off the boat.
Okay.
Like the typical Dominican parents moved to the Bronx.
Nice.
Raised in the Bronx and yeah, a New Yorker. I mean, I'd like to say I'm like born and bred here because I've been here since I was five.
That's pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. And I grew up in a New York that really doesn't exist anymore. Maybe it does still in the Bronx, but like not in the rest of New York.
Not in the rest of New York.
Yeah.
But you spend a lot of your time in Paris as well.
Yeah. So almost 4 years ago, I can't believe it's almost 4 years ago, I moved to Paris.
That's amazing. You just decided to kind of...
It was kind of like a few years before I'd gone there to like a eat, pray, love. Like I spent 6 months crying. Yes. And one day I just got up. I was like, I'm tired of crying. And I went to Paris for a month. I just like booked the tickets 2 weeks later. I went for the summer and it's just like, I like woke up and found myself.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm a person that exists and find joy. But I did feel like a Woody Allen movie, just like by myself. Like I was just like, this is so beautiful and I love it.
Yeah. So romantic.
Yeah,
just like taking long walks.
Exactly.
It's an easy city to fall in love with.
It's super easy. And then I came back and I was like, I'm going to move here. It just feels right for me. But I didn't, you know, life happened. And then I just came back to life. And 4 years ago now. Yeah. So I just, again, same breakup.
Breakup, okay.
Breakups are like the catalyst here.
But that's, good, right? Because breakups should teach us something about ourselves.
Yeah, I was kind of like rock bottom. Like I just, that ended and I was like, oh, I don't know anything about myself. Like I'm like a lost person on this earth. So I can either, you know, try to find my path in acting because I went to drama school and that was what I wanted to do. Or I can, you know, take my wellness journey and my clean beauty and all this brand and move to Paris. And I said, well, I can always be an actor. I can't always get up and go to Paris. So I'm going. That was like June that I had that conversation. And I literally took out like a calendar and like just picked a date in January, circled it, went to my computer, bought a one-way ticket. And then like that Sunday, I went to my family and I was like, I have an announcement. I'm moving to Paris.
Oh,
and they're like,
God.
She's bored. Like, what is she doing? Like, what now? What's happening with her? And I did. And it was such a beautiful, I really love the journey of like decompressing my entire life. Like I got rid of my closet, like everything that I owned for like my entire life.
Yeah. Started over.
Yeah. Like I just took that summer to really enjoy New York. Like I was like, I'm not coming back. I mean, obviously I was coming back for family, but I was like, it's my last summer. I want to leave loving New York. Like I didn't want to leave because I was running away from pain or anything. I just really wanted to like fall in love with my city and everything that I like love about being a New Yorker. So I would just take walks in the summer and like just wake up extra early and just like, I reconnected with every single friend that I had and made the best time of the summer and in the fall. And yeah, and I just fell in love and I left to Paris really happy. Like I was like, okay, this is like a happy me leaving, not like, oh, I was in pain and I'm leaving. I didn't want it to like come back and then be like, I hate this place.
Right. And so did you go to performing art? Like, did you go to LaGuardia or?
No, I went to an all girls high school. And
Same, yeah, in New York.
Painful.
Oh, I know. We've talked about it a lot on this podcast.
It's just painful.
It prepares you for life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it really does. Like, it really is a journey going through high school. I was like I didn't belong to anything. And I was too timid to just embrace being me, like whatever, you know, nerdiness or quirkiness. I was just like, I didn't fit in with like the real Dominican girls. And I didn't fit in with like the black girls. So I was just kind of bullied and when one clique got tired of me, I just switched to another one. And it was quite a painful journey.
Yeah. Teenage girls can be brutal.
So mean. I mean, sometimes I walk by teenagers now and I'm terrified. Like, I'm short. So I'm just like, oh my God, they're going to like think I'm a teenager and like bully me. Yeah, it's a brutal journey. But when I finished high school, I just went to college and I never wanted it to be like, I'm here, I'm going to college to make friends. I was just like, I'm going to school to finish. Like, I went to like a local school here in New York, Mercy College, and I got my degree in marketing. But while I was in college, it was never really, I never had the college experience. I was like always in the city. I landed in fashion PR back when streetwear was like nothing. When streetwear was just like, you know, coming to 1992 parties at Santos with like all these with Vashti and like Tommy. And it was just like a beautiful time because it was just so new and nobody really knew where it was going.
Yeah.
But I was like in the center of that world. So I would just get up, go to my internship at like, actually right around here at Zach Posen, go to school, go to my full-time job, then come to the city with my streetwear people and like party till like 4 a.m. And like sometimes I would just come home just to shower and keep going. I mean, I don't know how I did that, but I mean, being young is amazing.
Being young is amazing. And I feel like the Bronx and Paris probably couldn't be more different culturally.
Now that I'm there, they're so similar.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because
tell me more about
there's
that.
There's a hood in every city.
Of course, yeah.
Do you know? So it's like, it's really, I live in Saint-Michel just between like the Louvre and Notre Dame, which is like
super, I know exactly where that is. Yeah,
like
I know exactly where that is.
Bougie people.
Yeah.
And there's like me in my little tiny apartment.
Yeah.
But Paris is so Afrocentric in so many ways. Mm. Like, you know, the cultures, and because of the internet and how popular culture and news travel is, like not really that. I would say Paris is like a lazy New York.
Yes.
Because we get to live.
It's slower.
You enjoy your meals. You talk for 4 hours. You like indulge in living. Right.
Yes.
Where in New York, you're just like, okay, let's take this. An hour is too long for a dinner. You know what I mean? I'm just like, I'm not done chewing and we're paying the check, you know?
And going to the next place. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had the chance. I lived in Montparnasse for a couple of months.
This side of my hood, I'm like,
yes, that's what I was saying. I know exactly where you are. And I did really love like the cafe culture, that just going and sitting and meeting your friends at 11 a.m. and staying there until 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. and just letting the day kind of unfold. In New York, it's like, I'm late, I got to get here, I got to get there.
Yeah. And you're always like the sense of guilt for like things, like just taking ownership of like life. Like just like, I want to get up and be present and waking up and having a coffee. You don't even know what your coffee tastes like in New York.
So true.
But in Paris, I get the same cultural experience, but it's just like street culture just is so, it's the same but different just because it's French, right? So there's like this je ne sais quoi, like this thing that makes it a little bit more romantic and more, I think because French people are just so in touch with their feelings.
Yes, they
it's
are.
It's just like, even if you're like street culture, you're just like, it's a little bit more romantic than normal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit more sleek and chic and relaxed than New York.
Yeah.
Or just like a little more grimy.
Yes, absolutely. I would love to get your thoughts on the French approach to beauty, because I feel like there is this effortless, cool thing that I see more from French women.
It's very interesting because when I read articles about French women, like coming from the American journalist, right?
Yes.
Their beauty routine is like wine and cigarettes, and they wash your face and go.
Yeah.
And
they don't care as much.
And that's, I think, such a, like, this is now my like beauty routine for everything. Like I just have my like penciled my eyebrow. I don't even wear mascara anymore.
Yeah. I mean, but that's really chic, don't you think?
I love it. It's like, I mean, the name of my brand is Less is More in Spanish. So it's,
oh, that's what Menos Más means. Yeah. Okay.
So it really, it's just like this not putting so much effort on emphasis on everything that makes it so like, just you, just be you. Like,
yeah.
And, but the way I read articles here, it's like these girls don't go to the farm. They barely like.
Yeah. They're just doing way less.
Yeah. They're just doing way less, you know, like, of course, it, you know, maybe they'll throw on a red lipstick mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm. But I think in general, it's just like not caring so much that makes them so effortless. The effortless thing is just like get up and go. I mean, obviously there's girls who care and jazz it up and do the whole like caking of the face and all that
yeah,
crap.
But it's far less prevalent.
Yeah, for sure. It's like far and few in between. But I would say the basic French girl routine is just like you wash your face, you throw on a moisturizer, maybe a little tinted.
Yep.
It's the Glossier before Glossier existed.
Yes, right? Yes. So and you eat carbs. Like,
oh, they eat. I mean, not on Instagram.
You drink
and
wine.
It's funny because like now because of Instagram, they don't eat carbs on Instagram. But just like when the picture, like the off the yeah. gram, it's like bread. It's like yeah. the bread and butter are the main staple of every diet.
I literally gained 10 pounds from the summer I lived in Paris. And I had to buy like all clothes with elastic bands. Like it was.
I didn't gain any, but I walk everywhere. You know, Paris is
yeah,
so small.
It's a great walking city.
It's a great walking city. So like and also like the quality of food. So you can eat bread, but that 10 pounds might have taken you all summer.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
like the same foods here, you in a weekend, you would have been like.
In 2 weeks, I would have been there. Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. Like I don't regret it at all.
No, you can't. Absolutely not. You just have to indulge in like eating. And it's like fresh bread. Like they bake it 3 times a day. How can you be mad at that, you know?
And it's like wafting in all of the streets. So like, you're like, I'm going to get that croissant. Yeah, like there's no chance I'm doing.
Exactly. It's just, I mean, now that I'm there for a long time, I definitely don't indulge in any of that because.
Yeah, you're there. Like it's not like a vacation.
Exactly.
It's like
I had to do that in the beginning. I'm like, Anya, you're here. Like you're not leaving. Chill. Like you're
yeah.
Chill. You're here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm curious. You grew up here in the Bronx.
Yeah.
I feel like the Bronx is also, by the way, having a moment, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Cardi B, the Bodega Boys, like
yeah,
one of my favorite podcasts of all time. I think that Jesus and Mero are so funny. But I feel like the Bronx has also historically had a really interesting place in culture, like even going back to like Keith Haring being from the Bronx and so much art and creativity. And then on top of that, you're Dominican from the Bronx and there's a huge Dominican community there. And then that. Yeah. Then there's a built-in beauty culture within the Dominican community in the Bronx. So I'm sure
a good blowout goes a long way.
Yes, yes. So like, did you spend time growing up in like the Dominican hair salons?
Oh yeah. I mean, my first job ever was I was like 13 doing rollers at the like the hair salon
Love
at the
it.
Corner of
Love
my
it.
House.
Love
just like
it.
When they need help, you know, or like just the Bronx. I feel like just prepares you for the world because we're just so honest and we are. But sometimes I think we're so street that we do start a lot of things that are culturally, you know, shift the world culturally, but we don't own it or take like full swing of it. Now you see it with Desus and Mero and Cardi B and so many people or in the aftermath, we get the credit, right? But like in the moment and like everything, it's like appropriated and taken away.
Of course.
But I think it's such a great time to come from the Bronx just because we are like every person of color in the world right now is just like taking ownership of like, no, this is ours and we're doing it and it's coming from us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like nothing you can do to stop that. Like, and thank you, like Black Twitter for like calling. I have like a secret obsession.
Oh, I mean, Twitter's fantastic.
I don't really use Twitter, but Black Twitter in particular is just like the savior that we didn't know we needed. They just, I mean, look what they did with Dapper Dan, for example, right? Like calling someone out so much and using your voice so much that, you know, they had to acknowledge, hey, we did wrong here. And look at that turnaround, right? So you've got to thank Twitter for so much.
Yes, no,
just
absolutely.
Like using our voices and not being afraid to. And in that way, I really do love the internet for people. being able to express themselves.
The game.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
For everything. I want to read a bit of your caption from your Instagram post the other day where you featured your brother.
Oh, yeah.
Who is going through his own health and wellness journey and has lost a lot of weight in the process. You posted his before and after picture. Is his name Rudial.
Yeah.
Okay. Shout out to you. So you're talking about how a month ago you guys started your fitness journey, but this is part of your caption. We are from the Bronx, the slums of food of NYC. We don't come from money for expensive classes or crazy foods. We are Dominican and like our shit with flavor. If we could, so can all of you. My journey into a healthier life started 10 years ago. Now more than ever, my heart is exploding with passion to help my community lust for a richer, healthier way. I thought that was so beautiful.
Oh, thanks. It just... That morning that I wrote that post, we were sitting on the couch together and I was just like, he's so full of life again, mm-hmm. you know? And it's like, I'm so in this journey and it's been so long. It's natural to me, right? It's a shorthand with me. I don't mm-hmm. even feel like it's just the way I am. But for him, just to see how he went from like being depressed and mm-hmm. like going through all these changes in his personal life to in just a month of like, literally, I said to him, just give me one damn month of your life. If you don't feel better after that,
you can drop it all.
Just, I'll leave you alone forever. Yeah. Like, I'll shut my mouth, you know? And he was like, okay. I was like, oh my God, he said, okay. You know, it was really hard the first day for him, like running. He was really overwhelmed, but he did it. He did 5K and it just instantly hit him like, oh my God, I did it. And it just kind of took me back to the beginning of when I started, because when I started 10 years ago, there was no Instagram that you can just scroll through and find a recipe. There was nothing. I literally read the China Study, which is like an enormous book.
What's the China Study? I've never even heard of this.
You've seen all these documentaries on Netflix about food and food production, but they did a study comparing like this village in China to here in America, and when they started introducing processed food, that town didn't have like any processed anything and didn't eat meat. And when they started introducing, like the rate in cancer and disease just skyrocketed.
Wow.
And then they correlated that to the just like food production, how it shifted in America. So in the 50s and the 40s, we didn't eat the way we eat now. And then once World War II happened and they started, you know, figuring out how to do processed foods to refrigerate for moms not to cook, that just skyrocketed mass food production and so did disease. So I went into the wormhole of like looking at documentaries and how food is, you know, manufactured. And I was just like, I don't want to put that into my body. Mm-hmm. Not because I don't think meat is delicious and we shouldn't eat it, but it's not the way we should eat it.
Yes.
Which is a huge, I'm not like one of those like vegan or plant-based people mm-hmm. who are like, you know, animals, eat them, but eat them once a week. You know, people used to hunt and gather and eat like, and when that was out, mm-hmm. you ate vegetables mm-hmm. and you had a rich, varied plate of food. And now it's just like, you're eating an animal all day long. Not only are you eating an animal all day long, you're eating a animal who's probably died, depressed, you know, full of like hormones and antibiotics and all these things. And you're eating like, you know, in the Bronx, for example, you wake up, you go to the store, you have a bacon, egg, and cheese.
Yeah.
Right. So you're having three
from
animal
the bodega,
parts from the bodegas.
Like,
So you're having three animals in like just one meal. Then for lunch, you're having some type of like chicken sandwich or some, and for dinner, you're going home having rice, beans, and chicken. So like all day long, you're eating animal. Like you're just like, and then you're like stressed and you're eating that stress. I'm like, guys, can you see how we can,
connection.
The connection mm-hmm. of being sick and not feeling well and down and sluggish. So I just decided to, and I had really terrible acne.
Okay. And like, you have beautiful skin now.
Like better than when I was in high school. It's insane.
Yeah.
I had terrible acne. So like 10 years ago, I just was like, okay, I'm going to do a 10-day juice fast. And fun, interestingly enough, Styles P.
Oh yeah, he's a juice bar.
He has a juice bar right by me. So like 10 years.
You know him?
I don't. I want to
He seems cool.
Yeah, he seems cool. And like he talks about his depression and journey, which is really amazing. But he has a juice bar right by me. So like when I did a 10-day juice fast, I did a mix of like doing them at home and going to his bar. And then after that, I didn't eat meat again. And it's, my skin cleared up in 30 days. Like I got my period for the first time without cramps. Like,
wow.
I had to, like, I was the type of girl who took, like, naproxen, like, heavy muscle relaxers every day, 7 days before her period, just to get cramps.
I have terrible cramps.
Yeah.
It's.
And the first month of going plant-based, it just, I got my period on a chair. Like, I stained it. I didn't even know I had my period. Like, wow. That's how, like, nothing.
Really?
And I cried. I was like, oh, my God. Like, this is what girls with no cramps, like.
Yeah, this is how they
like,
live.
No, this is how they live their life. Like, how unfair. And wow. I just never went back. And then I tested it out just when I lived, like, sometimes when I would cheat and have meat. The next month, I would get cramps. And I would get, like, sick or, like, break out and stuff. So I definitely, at least for me, eating meat is, like, not something that I need or desire to have.
It's just a sometimes thing.
So when I'm in another country, I have no restrictions.
Okay.
Because I want to, right, life is also short, right? So
yes, you want to
I want to go to Italy and try all of their stuff.
Also Buco, yeah.
Right, and I want to go, I went to Marrakesh. I want to try lamb from Marrakesh.
Yes.
I mean, if you're going to do it, it from the place that it's, you know?
Yes.
So I definitely want to, I don't, I'm not like, oh no, I could never. Definitely want to indulge in culture and life mm-hmm. and at least say I've experienced it. But, like, in my everyday life, I don't need it, no.
And I see so much, and I want to start talking about your beauty line, the connection between what you put in your mouth to eat and what you put on your skin. Your skin's your largest organ. A lot of people don't even consider that,
yeah.
Before we get into your beauty line, though, I want to talk about your approach to fitness because I'm personally inspired. Like, I think I eat pretty well, but I work out, like, 2 times a week, 3 times a week, and you're, like,
but
out
that's
here
enough.
Doing it. No, but you're, like, doing it.
But I do
You've
it.
Got these defined arms.
Oh,
like, let's talk
you.
About your fitness journey.
You know, it's not as extensive as people think. I mean, the last month it has been because I've been working out with my brother, like, really consistently every day, and I've been working out twice a day in the last month, which has been
casual,
very exhausting.
Yeah.
But I don't work out. I mean, everybody wants to, like, sometimes you look at Beyonce and you're like, okay. I mean, look at JLo. She's 49. A 49 year old woman is my body goals, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's insane.
She's
amazing. But my routine is, like, on a regular, just every day, I just work out, like, 45 minutes to an hour
every day.
Almost every day.
That's...
And some days it's just like maybe it'll go longer, or sometimes I don't have time, I'll do 15 minutes.
Mm.
But it's not for my body, it's really for me. Like, just mm-hmm. when you're an entrepreneur,
yes,
and you're doing a lot on your own, I just need a release. It's more for that. If I go a few days without working out, I just feel like my whole world collapsing.
Mm.
I feel like all the pressures of
yes
that exist even when I do work out, but
right.
I just feel it more.
Yeah.
So I need to just, like, get my blood flowing and get it out.
That's so good.
And my journey did begin with running.
Okay.
Actually, as a promise to my dad, we were talking about, like, when, like, TVs first came out. I'm like, what was that like? And he's like, actually, the first thing I saw on TV was the marathon, and I've always wanted to do it. And I was like, okay, I'll do it for you. Like, that was
awesome.
It. And I was just like, that was, like, in November. And I started signing up for all the races to qualify for New York Marathon.
And so, wait, you did it?
Yeah, in 2015. So 2014 was the year that I decided to move. Like, I started running in January that summer, like, with all the... When you run, and you'll come to run with me one time.
Okay, maybe. We'll see. I used to do track and field, so I feel like I have a very...
So you're a runner.
But I have a very weird relationship with running. I associate it with pain and, like, discomfort.
Yeah, which is
part
what
of
we
running.
All do. Yeah, part of running.
Like, running's not fun.
No, and all runners hate running.
We yeah.
just, like...
Exactly.
But you never regret not running, right? Like, when you finish, you're like, I can't believe I did it.
You feel
know?
Good.
You feel really great. So that kind of feeling kept pushing me. And at the end of the summer, I had all the qualifications. I decided to move to Paris. So it was kind of like all these things, like my mental wellness was better, my fitness was better, my energy. And then that kind of gave me the courage to move to Paris. So when I did New York Marathon the following year, it was just like full circle.
That must have been an amazing feeling.
It was the first time I came back to New York after I'd moved to Paris, and I came to run, and my dad was waiting for me in the Bronx.
Oh,
and
he must have been so proud.
And I was like, I can't do this, Dad. I can't run anymore. And he's like, we can't have the car right now, but you're like 10 miles in, so just finish, okay? And I finished, and it was really an amazing journey. And yeah, so running was definitely like, it's my first love-hate relationship. And I'm not like a fast runner. I'm like a, you know, we call it sexy pace, just for the sake of not calling people turtles. I am the queen of sexy pace. I'm a slow runner. I'm always like complaining and like nagging, like, why do I have to do this? It's so hard.
But you do it.
But I do it and you get through it. And I did this March. There's this thing called the Speed Project, and it's a relay race from Santa Monica Pier to Las Vegas.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, how long is that?
340 miles.
What?
And we did it. I cannot believe it.
How long does that take?
It took us 3 days, so a weekend. We started like Friday morning and we finished on Sunday at noon. And we were an all-girls team, like we put it together. And it was really, it was quite, I was like the first one to break down and cry. Like I got the first wave of the heat.
Yeah.
Going up a hill. So I was like, I can't do this. I'm done. I'm not working in these conditions. Like, yeah. I just had a meltdown. And they're like, okay, give her a second. Give her some water. She'll be fine. We got to keep going.
The thing that's so great about running, though, and I like that you brought up this point about, like, not having money for classes. A lot of times, fitness and wellness is seen as something for people with money.
And it's a luxury. Right. Wellness in general.
Wellness is a luxury. To even be able to focus on your health and wellness to that degree. But I also think there's so much that you can do for free. Like anyone can lace up sneakers and go run around the park or run around any outdoor area that they have. Like you don't have to necessarily sign up for a crazy SoulCycle
boutique. Yeah,
package.
Or boutique. It's just expensive, realistically. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm really fortunate to like be in wellness and be afforded sometimes to go to these spaces because I create with them. Mm-hmm. But it's really expensive. And it's just, I'm just always wondering, how do people afford this? Like, people, I mean, I don't know. People find the time and money to do it, but but like a mom with kids who's stressed can't get up and pay $34 a SoulCycle class.
Yeah, well, I think that sometimes it's like shifting your priorities. Like I used to waste a lot of money going out and getting drinks, and now
that's
I just
true.
Spend that money
on skincare and
on skincare fitness. Or fitness or going to the spa, things like that.
Yeah.
So okay, this is a perfect segue into your amazing line, which is dual gender, which is so interesting to me. Could you talk to me a little bit about Menos Más?
So Menos Más started out of my acne. I went to a dermatologist when I went plant-based, and he was just like, I was like at that desperate point of like, give me Accutane
now. Yeah, I want Accutane
like,
immediately.
I don't care what it does to me. Like, give it to me. And he's like, actually, no, I'm not even going to prescribe you anything.
Good for him.
He's just like, go to Whole Foods, get a jar of vitamin E.
Wow. This doctor is like my type of guy because I'm all about like figuring it out based on natural things.
And he's just like, what are you eating? And he's like, he was the one who like kind of directed me to like reading labels and all that. He's like, read labels, get this, you know, those like superfood, like 25 billion probiotic, every single green powder.
Yes, yes, yes.
He's like, get that, put a scoop in your water every single morning and have a gallon of water a day and buy vitamin E oil for your scars and come back to me in a month. And that was the month that I went plant-based and then that, and I was just like, oh my God.
What an angel, this man.
Dr. Michael Mann, I still remember in the Upper East Side. Never forget his name. And after that, I just became like obsessed with reading labels and ingredients and kind of going back. I'm Dominican, right? So we're like DIY kings. Like we just like make our own hair mask every Sunday to clean the house.
Yeah,
So I just kind of went back to like all my mom's remedies. Like everything's like, you know, my mom's like very much like, oh, you're sick. Drink this or like have some oatmeal or everything is like in the kitchen that you need to be better. So I kind of went back to that route and I started making. I first started just using like oils around the house, like olive oil on my skin and all this and mixing it with the vitamin E. And then I was like, okay, I want something denser, especially for winter. So I started just like experimenting and I made this, my friend Jasmine, who's actually in Blind Spotting.
Oh,
Jasmine Cephas Jones. She had eczema, and at the time we were in drama school together. And she would come over, and I would be like, "Okay, try this for a week." I would stock like all of my little concoctions in old medicine jars, and just give them out to like friends and family. And my dad and Jasmine were like my real guinea pigs because my dad works building homes, so his hands are trash.
Oh, they're so like, you made him a nice hand cream, a nice balm.
I wanted something universal,
okay.
So I just made something that was like good for everything, and I would make him wear like mittens to sleep at night. like sleeping with That's mittens and moisturizing
but
his
I'm
hands.
But I'm sure it worked.
And it worked. My mom's like spreading. She wanted to become an Avon lady for my like medicine jar products. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to make this into something out of everyone pushing me. But, you know, life happens. And I was like so stuck on the things that don't matter. Like I knew I had a good product.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I don't have a name and I don't have this. And I want it to be too, like sometimes you get stuck on wanting it to be so perfect.
Yep.
Instead of letting people discover the journey with you.
Yes. That's huge.
That it holds you back. And I really suffer from that. Even now, like I just want to present such a perfect vision of everything. And I'm like, people really, especially now, enjoy watching the fuck ups, watching like the little, you know, like, oh, she started here. Now look at her now, you know,
totally.
Instead of just coming out from the getaway, like, oh, here, she's perfect.
Yes. And you're so transparent about your journey. Like, I was surprised to read that you were saying that you were self-conscious about acne scarring because,
oh my God, still, to me, this day.
But like, to me, like, I see you, you're just a beautiful young woman. Like, I wouldn't think that you would have insecurities about your skin because your skin's beautiful, but
no, taking selfies was a journey.
Really?
Like, I see those girls online who take like those perfect lighting, Glossier-esque like pictures, and I'm like, I can't do it. I do it, I'm like, no, okay, don't
post them. That's what we want to see.
But like, even your skin, like, you don't have all these like shotgun holes that I have here.
Oh, come on. But it's beautiful because it's part of your journey because you experienced it. I mean, you wouldn't have the line that you created today if you didn't go through it.
And it's interestingly enough, like I've even tried, like now they have those apps that like make your skin perfect.
Oh, like Facetune and all the smoothing and all that.
I tried it out of curiosity.
So tempting.
It is not. I was like, it's not me.
It's not me. Yeah.
I've never done it. I was just like, just to see what I look like. And then I just saw one where like they like make your chin smaller.
Oh, when people like change the shape
of
their face.
I'm like, you're changing your perception of who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't do it. I've never been able to like smudge out my face or, and even my like cellulite and stretch marks. I've had stretch marks since I was 12. That journey's like long and gone for me. I'm like, it's just a part of me.
Yeah. And who says that stretch marks aren't beautiful?
Yeah. It's just like, it's your body. Like, do you know how much shit we go through as women? Like we have to that's what I tell my brothers. I'm like, every single month is different. I don't know if I'm going to cry or just be happy or normal. And it's not because of me, it's because my body
and
has this change in hormones. So we go through enough shit to be worrying about like all the crap that we do.
Have you tried acupuncture?
No.
I'm so into
it. I did once.
Okay.
For my knee. And it was the weirdest experience because I was like, I don't believe in this crap.
Right. Because you're like, why would sticking needles into my body do anything?
And I was having severe like knee issues. And I was like, okay, I'll try this. And I went and I'm thinking he's going to like stick a bunch of stuff in my knee, and he put everything around my stomach.
Yeah. It's so interesting, right? Like the connection.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is a waste of money. Like, I got to get out of here. Like, he's like, I'll be back in 20 minutes.
I'm like, this is bullshit.
And like 5 minutes in, suddenly my leg started like convulsing. Yeah. And I'm like, oh shit, this is actually working. Like, who knew like your belly button connected to your knee?
It's so interesting.
Yeah. It's really, but I've never done it again.
I've been doing it to regulate my hormones, and I feel like, and to deal with like these difficult periods that you were talking about, and it's made a huge difference.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. You know what? I did start getting hot flashes. I don't know why. Like now I just get like these
like bursts really of like, sometimes too.
Yeah. Like it's just like 10 seconds of like,
yeah, when you feel really hot. It happens to me at night, actually. Like, I get, like, night sweats.
Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't know
what's going on.
Like, am I going through, like, early menopause? Like, what it's like?
Probably not.
But, yeah, so back to the line.
You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, Solon logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So then I ended up going to Paris and I was like, Anya, you're overcomplicating it. Like, less is more. And I was like, there it is. And I wanted a connection to who I am and my roots. And less is more is not exactly so beautiful in English.
Yeah.
So I was like, menos más.
Menos más sounds 10 times better.
Yeah. And I just like put together a basic collection of like, I started with the body butter. I was like, well, I usually do a mask and a scrub. And that's kind of like a nice little trio of things to like just prep the skin, like a basic skincare routine. So yeah, all the things that I love in my skin right now, I just kind of put it together, what I thought would smell good, but be good for you. Yeah. And then all my little beautiful products were born.
Yes, and everything's natural. And what I love about it being dual gender, like I hate how gendered beauty is when it comes to just like skincare stuff. And there's something called the pink tax. Are you familiar with this?
Yeah, and it's just bullshit.
Like, yeah, like women pay for the exact same product, women pay on average 20% more.
And when you read the ingredients, it's exactly the same thing, except they change the fragrance.
Yeah.
So it's just like, my brothers, my entire life have used all of my products. They used to make me give them manicures. And I'm just like, I'm never going to create something. Even when in the inception of it, my dad was my guinea pig. So I'm like, it's skin is skin, right? So if you have dry skin, you got to moisturize. I don't really believe in, what does gender, you know, skincare like mean? Like for men only. Like today I use my brother's deodorant.
Right, right. It's like, it's almost, yeah. It's
the only thing is you just, you know, the musky smell. It's like really masculine and strong, but.
But I wear men's fragrance. Like I feel like the gendering.
It's just a marketing thing. And I just don't agree with it. It's a way to alienate people, right? Like make men. It's part of that bigger thing that men have to be a certain way and a certain type of masculinity. And women are like these like gentle things. And it's just like all marketing.
Totally. And also like shout out to all the men that listen to the Naked Beauty podcast. I see you. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you guys.
Yes. Yes. I want to hear the beauty products that you're in love with.
Aside from my own, I really don't use that many products. I have a really simple, when my skin is like really clogged, I use either one of my masks, and then I'll try like any sheet mask just for curiosity. But I've just found that really just moisturizing heavy is kind of like a sheet mask.
Totally,
in a way,
totally.
Like heavy, like I really enjoy moisturizing. It's like it's kind of like my meditation.
What do you moisturize with?
With a lot of oils, actually. I don't really buy brands because I'm always experimenting what's going to be the next product from Menos Más.
Sure.
So I usually, you know it, like that pink mask from, they're the Asian brand. Dr. Jart, there you go.
Yes, Dr. Jart. Yeah, it's like a rubbery mask.
Yeah, I don't use the mask, but they have like this essence, like this little cream. I use it as essence. I don't know if it's for that. But
okay,
it's
so
like,
wait, your team essence? Can we talk about essences?
I love essence.
Okay, can you just help me out here? Because I've just purchased my first essence from Tatcha. I'm using it. It's still kind of unclear of what it does. So after you wash your face, you put on the essence before your skincare to help it absorb better.
Yeah, so I don't know if I'm using it right, but I usually like wash my face and then I toner and then I use essence. And I just feel like the rest of my products just get sucked in.
I know, everyone says this and I think I'm just naturally a skeptical person.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to continue trying. I'm going to give it a month.
Yeah, try it. I mean, I just feel like it takes a little bit longer to absorb, like it's really eating it up. But maybe it's just like I want to believe it works. I don't know if it's like, you know, you make.
Yeah. I mean, it's been around in Asian skincare since like the 1800s, even further back. Like they say that like geishas were using essence from rice and.
Well, it's part of like that whole like 10-step Korean beauty.
Yes.
Like it's when I kind of took that bit from it because I already do a heavy moisturizing routine. So I do Essence from Dr. Jart's. And then I go back and forth because people add their serums last.
Oh, no. You have to do serum before moisturizer.
Before moisturizer. Okay. Yeah. I go back and forth all the time. But I'm like a really lazy. I'm like, it's all going in. Yeah. At some point, it'll all absorb in there somewhere. Exactly. Like, it has to go somewhere,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I usually do Menos Mas. Depending, like, if I have scarring or not, I'll use a, like, right now I have this little, like, dot here. So I'll use, like, the Royal Jelly one for bed and really heavy. In the summer, I don't use it as much, but I'll use that. Then I'll add serum. Then I kind of wait, like, 10 minutes.
Let
and
it
then
sink
I'll
in.
Sink it. And then I'll add some more.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, I just feel like, okay, I had more. And then I'll add, sometimes, though, I'll leave all of that behind and I'll just go, like, oil by oil. I'll do the essence, then I'll just use like coconut oil and like layer on olive oil and then I'll do serum. And then, yeah. So I usually end up layering and then I'll do like a heavy butter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I just,
like
it's
a shea butter base?
Yeah, like a shea butter
on
base.
On your face?
Yeah.
Interesting.
And then I'll just add like the serum to the at the end or something. But I feel like for bedtime, it's so heavy and dense. I just wake up like I just lived in water or something.
Yes,
like
it's your
just
skin like, feels so soft.
Yeah. And I definitely, part of my skincare routine is definitely having water before bed. I feel like my skin wakes up so hydrated.
Yeah. You got to have that bedside water.
Yeah. It's
critical.
It's like a, it's a bitch when you have to like get up in the middle of the night. To,
but
like,
you got to do it. Yeah, I have two bottles. I have like a glass and like a big bottle.
Bottle. It's definitely, water is the key to like,
Everything. Are there any beauty trends that you don't enjoy, that you're just kind of over?
I think with the masking, the adding like the sparkle and like it just takes away from like, is this actually helping my skin? Is it even helping the environment? Or is it just like the Instagrammable stuff, you know?
Yes.
I think it's a huge problem because people create things that are really beautiful, that are great for a picture, but is it actually helping you? Is it even, you know,
totally.
Effective?
One of my guests, Mikdella, said her beauty trend that she didn't like, she said, I'm sick of face masks being the bumper sticker for self-care.
Yeah.
And I was like, amen, because it's like, who is it for? Is it for you or is it for the picture? Sparkles, it's not helping you at all.
It's not helping your skin. It's not even helping the environment. Like these glitters don't go away. They're just like taking space. And yeah, I don't like that. And I don't really use makeup. I don't really use, I mean, for makeup, I use Glossier. That's it. Like the highlighter.
Oh, okay.
My makeup routine is basically highlighter and crayoning my eyebrows because I have none.
Well, I just got literally like 4 days ago, I got my microblading done. So it's still very dark.
What is that? Is it like a permanent tattoo?
It's semi-permanent. And it's with like pigments.
That's too much commitment for me.
Yeah. Yeah, but it does save time.
Yeah.
But it's like a process.
Yeah.
So you're like a
terrified.
Low-key
minimal. Oh, I'm super low maintenance. I don't even like get my nails painted or get manic. I do like, all that stuff is like really, I think because I don't come from money and I got used to doing everything myself, that's really my moment for me. Like on Sundays when, back to my Dominican roots, when you wake up, your mom wakes you up early and you throw a mask in your hair and you start cleaning the whole house, blasting music.
Yep.
By the end of the day, your house is clean, you wash your hair, you get your blowout, you get your nails done, and then you just like relax in like clean sheets. It's the ultimate day.
It totally is. And it's so strange to me that self-care is, there's this term called like white wellness, and it's kind of like Gwyneth Paltrow and Goop, and it's like
so unrealistic.
But also like within the Black community, within so many different minority communities, we've been making our own body butters and doing natural beauty and taking a full day to like do self-care, right? Like we've had this history and legacy of doing this for ourselves, I feel like for forever.
Yeah.
It's not
part
new
of our
for
roots,
us. Right.
But I feel like, and I was having this discussion with someone else. Darian, she was on your podcast as well. I was just saying to her, growing up, our poor man's meal was either like bread and eggs or bread and avocado. And now my dad would say all the time to me, I'm like, I would have known giving you guys avocado sandwiches was going to cost $13 at a restaurant, I would have opened a business 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a luxury that's actually hurting the communities where these products are grown, like in, where is it, in Peru or something, quinoa is, people that cultivate it can't afford to eat it because it's like a luxury afforded to us now, you know, it's so expensive.
And it's in their community and they're harvesting it, but they can't afford it.
Right. And it's something they've had for like ages and ages, you know? Even now, like the whole masking, I saw a, like a huge blogger. I don't even know what she called it. And I'm like, you know, putting a hair mask on your hair. And she's like oiling, coconut oiling or something. And I'm like, I've been doing that my whole life. And now it's like, it's part of like the appropriation. Like once a certain group of people discover it, it's suddenly, it's like they've discovered it. Instead of saying, oh, this is like, it comes from this place and these people have done it for years. It's like, oh, this new trendy thing. I'm like, it's just not new and trending. You just happen to stumble upon it
it's
now.
It's new for you.
For you.
Like, we've known about turmeric masks. Like, it's new for you.
Exactly. And it's just, there's this interesting thing that happens in wellness where like, there's a ton of us women of color in wellness, but none of us get the accolades or like the recognition that we should.
Yeah. So well, really, I try with this platform.
Well, you do an amazing job.
Thank you. Thank you.
And you do you give so many voices to so many women of color on it, which I really like. That's why I love this podcast, because we keep it so real on here. But there's this like, still like the Black girl in every, whether it's like a brand or anything. And inclusivity is such a trendy thing now, but it's still kind of
a token.
Like, you're still the token Black girl. And we don't even have real representation in the Latin community. I mean, who's out there like praising? I don't know anyone.
Yeah.
And by nature, I just attach to the Black community because it's the closest thing that I can relate to. But
there's Amara La Negra. Do you know her? She's beautiful.
She's so beautiful. Her skin is ridiculous. It's like not even fair.
Her hair, everything.
Interesting with her hair. I love women who own their hair. Like, I've never had braids like yours.
Oh, you got it. You got to do braids for the summertime once.
I do my own cornrows. I like braid my own hair. But like, my curly hair now has been a journey.
Did you used to straighten it?
I used to like relax it, like, you know, in high school. Yeah. And then I stopped when I was 18.
Okay.
But I always just used to do a Dominican blowout,
like, but your every hair week. Is so good, curly.
And then in May, I was like, I went to Dominican Republic, and I was like, I'm not going to straighten my hair because I don't feel pretty with my hair like this.
Really,
I feel like a boy
still.
Yeah, and now I'm like,
because it's gorgeous. These ringlets you have are like so pretty.
I never used to put product in my hair. I just wash it, conditioner, and then.
Yeah.
Expect it to grow.
right. So now you're learning chemistry.
Yeah. And it's been a journey for me because I just thought I looked like a little boy. You know, the whole world, your whole life tells you your curly hair is ghetto. Your braids are hood.
Yeah.
You know, before you even go to an interview, the first thing you question is your hair. Like, you can't go to an interview with your hair curly or like in an afro.
Yeah.
And now it's acceptable and they deem it acceptable, so now it's just okay. But I have all these feelings.
Yeah, of course. It's been internalized from our whole lives that straight, glossy, shiny hair is the best.
Right. And so now I'm like undoing that process. Yes. Feels like therapy.
Yeah.
So it's been a journey since May, and now I'm just like, I never want to straighten my hair again.
Yes.
It's so easy. Just wake up and go. Although I do struggle with like today I washed it and it's out, but then like to go to bed.
Oh, you do the pineapple method.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I do that now. The braids, you braid it?
Yeah, I put so when I'm wearing my hair out, I'll put it into two strand twists and then I like curl the ends with like a little bobby pin, like a Bantu knot out situation.
I'll have to try that and see how they come out.
Yeah, I try that. And also the big thing that I did, and I only did it last year and I wish I'd done it so much sooner, is I went to Diva Chan Salon.
My best friend goes there. Is it really good?
I just got like a cut for my hair. I was so concerned with length and growing my hair. And then once I got a cut for my hair texture and type, it was
I have anxiety
a
about going to hair salons. I don't go to them.
Because you don't trust them, right?
No.
I'm the same way.
And it's because it's because of Dominicans. Yeah. Because if you've gone to a Dominican salon,
they will put that heat on.
Not even the heat. Like, you tell them I want this, they give you what they want. They don't give you what you told them. I'm not doing this anymore. Gonna give me a heart attack.
Oh my god. Yeah. So like, you ask for a trim and like you literally
you get
have
like
a haircut,
like, you have like layers. I'm like, I didn't
I don't want layers.
Yeah, I just wanted a trim.
Yeah.
So I stopped going to the hair. I trim my own ends.
Oh, good.
Okay. When I was little, my dad used to trim my ends, and now it's me.
Your dad sounds amazing.
He's the best. He's an really angel. Cool. Yeah, and he's so in touch with his feelings. That's why I'm so emotional.
Aw. You are the super busy entrepreneur. You do a lot.
I do.
You are very busy. So I'm not going to ask you how you get motivated, because I feel like when you love what you do and you're passionate, the motivation just comes.
It doesn't actually.
Okay,
it's some days, like 2 days ago, I was like, why couldn't I just be a regular person that just didn't have dreams? It just was like regular and got a regular, and just like fucking dreams. I'm tired of like believing in them, you know, but it's really draining. I literally had to like talk to myself out loud some days and say, you got this. You can do this. It's coming. It's on its way. Like it's every day. It's not like this pretty picture that people paint that like you love what, just because you love what you do does
doesn't
not mean
it's easy.
It's so hard. I moved to Paris 3 days after Charlie Hebdo attacks, and I didn't know anybody. And I just figured it out. But every day in that, like, people are like, oh, you're in Paris, how chic, how beautiful. I'm like, I'm crying. I'm by myself. I don't speak the language. I don't have any friends here. Like, it was really tough. Even now with the brand, you know, I see so many. When I started it, there weren't Instagrammable brands.
Yeah.
They weren't pretty packaged. Yeah. And that was kind of my take.
Yeah.
Now it's blown up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how do I like stand out? And it's so overwhelming to be like this little tiny dot in this huge world, especially in the American market.
But you're making your mark. And I mean, you're connected with an audience, which is amazing.
And I think I remind myself constantly. I think what keeps me going is purpose.
Mm.
Because I believe in what I'm doing. And when shit hits the fan, when everything is going wrong, if you do not believe in what you're doing 4,000% and like till it keeps you up at night, you won't get up and go. You just have to get up and go. You have to do what you have to do. You have to get up and run. If you have to cry for 3 hours, if you have to take a day or two, you do what you have to do, but then you talk yourself into continuing. Like, no, this is, and then trusting the universe has gotten me through the last 4 years. So I would go into a panic and like, what am I going to do next? And then I was like, you know what? It's going to work out in the end. And I don't stress about anything now. Even when if I think the brand is not doing well or this is not getting done or whatever it is, it's going to be okay and it's going to work itself out. And that has been such a huge saving grace in my life, because it does. And you really, the universe brings you whatever energy you put out. Mm. So if you just like stay chill, calm, believe in yourself, and really work hard, you know, it's not a one-day trade. It's just something you have to figure out. And it's okay to break down and cry. It's okay to shift gears. It's okay to like not go by the plan you had in your head.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get stuck in like, this is the way I'm going to do it. But the universe has so many doors that can do it, and you're blocking that by just only seeing your vision. Mm-hmm. And you can get to your vision by just allowing like all these other ways and avenues and things to cross. Mm-hmm. So I would say like, how do I keep going? Is just every day is different depending on how I wake up that day. And that's why I work out. For me, working out is a thing that keeps
your grounding.
Me, like,
yes.
Otherwise, I would be in like Bellevue checked in.
Okay, so you answered my question, because I was going to ask, when you are so busy and you're doing so much, what protections do you put around your schedule to have personal time, like to have just like me time to do nothing?
Some days I feel guilty about when I do take me time. Like yesterday, I was
but
just
you
like,
need it for
you
your
need
mental
it.
Health.
Yeah.
You need it.
And but at what point, and it's something I've been exploring recently, self-care is, what point does self-care become a point of like an excuse to be lazy?
Yes.
Or is it actually self-care? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes. Or isolating yourself. Like, when does self-care become isolating yourself?
Right. So like yesterday I was just like hot and uncomfortable and I just wasn't feeling the day. So I really didn't get much done, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm like, that's not self-care. That was just me being lazy.
Right.
I can't really, you know, but I own that, right? There's some people who are like, oh, I'm the same thing, but we'll blame it on self-care taking a day. And I think, where does the line get crossed?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I've been seeing a lot with self-care and the body positive.
Oof, do we want to touch that?
That is
okay.
Like, yeah.
But let's I want to talk about it. I feel like people are afraid to talk about it.
I'm a little bit afraid, but I feel like it's important.
Let's do it. Okay. So tell me your thoughts on the body positive movement.
I feel like with body positive, it is the take should be to love yourself. But loving yourself should love yourself enough to know what's healthy and unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And love and be aware enough to know that you might be healthy at whatever weight you're at in this moment, but there are people who are looking at that and latching onto that who are unhealthy and mm-hmm. who are on a downward spiral. Mm-hmm. And they're seeing this image and saying, hey, it's okay for this person to be like that, so it's okay for me. And it just creates this slew of unhealthiness. But I don't think that a person who is of a certain size doesn't love themselves.
Like, right.
Like,
right.
My cousin is, she's a big girl and she loves her. Like, I was like, I need your confidence. She came to visit me in Paris and she got more play by men. I've never even been like winked at. And she, right?
She just had that energy.
And she had that energy because she's confident in who she is as a person.
Right.
But she's also aware, like, you know, I'm this size, I'm this big, and I love myself. Mm-hmm. And that is what body positive is, and not be ashamed of, of being whatever you are, but loving yourself enough to say, I'm getting on a healthier journey, especially if you have a voice, right? Because it's not just about you, especially when you're posting or you're getting on this magazine. It's about who are you exposing this to?
Yeah.
And you're afforded the opportunity to be this way. But at any point you want to change, you have the resources. Where there's a ton of people in middle America who only have KFC and White Castle around them and nothing to do but look at cows that are looking at this and saying, it's okay for me to be like this and sit on my ass all day. And it's, you know, or whatever. I don't want to say judge anyone, but I think it's a...
Yeah, it's so complicated.
It's a complicated line, but I feel like if we... You know, a lot of people might see this or, you know, I talk about it privately all the time. I'm like, oh, I shouldn't say anything because I'm a skinny girl to the world. So they're going to be like, oh, shut up. Like,
shut
who
up.
Are you to say something? You're already skinny and in shape.
Right.
But my mom is not a skinny girl. My mom's a big woman. Mm-hmm. My cousins, my entire family's big. Mm-hmm. You know, I just happen to be the lucky one to like get my dad's jeans. And I tell them all the time, it's not about it's about loving yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what does loving yourself mean, right? If you're 5'3 and you're 300 pounds, you might not have any diseases right now, but is that heavy? Is that okay for your bones?
Right.
Is that okay for the, you know, I'm not a doctor. I'm not saying, do what you want. It's just my opinion. But I think it's about being confident in who you are, in your imperfections, in your, you know, your weight. And then saying with that, I love myself enough to know that I have to be better, right? To make a change. It doesn't mean be skinny. It means be healthy,
be
active, move your blood, and be preventative, right? Because you may not have something right now.
Yes.
But what about in 10 years? Because we're not getting any younger, you know?
Yes, yes, yes.
And for me, that's what it's... I don't see that ever out there. And then it's a pressure on women. I saw Ashley Graham when she started being active. People got at her for wanting to get better because she was like the big girl and that was her role. And I'm like,
yeah, she's allowed to be healthier.
Right. She's allowed to have that thing of like, oh, I do love myself and I am confident and comfortable in my skin, but I want to be better. And that's what body positive is.
Yeah.
But when you have that connection and you realize it, then you get kind of thrown under the bus by your own community. And then me, girls like you and I are not even allowed to voice our opinions because we're looked as like the enemy. We're like, no, we actually love you and we want you to be your best you. And, and it's not a defense or a thing, especially with women. We went to all girls schools where girls are pinned against each other.
Yeah.
It's just about like, hey, no, you can be all those things. You can love your stretch mark, your cellulite, all that stuff and all your imperfections. We all have them. But recognize, okay, I have to change. Just like a person who has a bad attitude, you know? It's... You can be great and have all these things, but if you have that, then recognize it. And I'm going to tell you about it because I want you to be better.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's, I don't see that in the body positive community or the self-care, you know, like recognition of the things, like just a pretty picture, but not like the real in and out of self-care or latching on and kind of abusing those words and what they really mean.
Yes, it's easy to use the term body positive and attach it to an image, but what are the larger repercussions of that image?
Right.
And what does it allow? What excuses does it allow people to make for themselves?
Right. So that's something that I would love to really see more and people talk about more without the internet coming for you.
I know. It's scary to talk about.
It's scary. I don't want to be attacked.
No. And I don't think you will be. I don't think you will be because you're not shaming, right? You never want to make someone feel ashamed. It's just excess weight has an impact on your health.
Right. Even if you're on paper healthy right now, are you really? Like, are you really being the best you just
right.
because you're putting, you're this weight?
Right.
Right.
And by the way, there are so many really skinny size zero girls that are so unhealthy
right.
that can't even get up a flight of stairs. So it's not like one is better than or worse than the other.
I used to call that skinny fat.
Yeah. I mean, that's like my brother. He's like a string bean, but he's like so unhealthy. He doesn't exercise.
And it's just like your metabolism has nothing to do with being, you know, one way or another. And interestingly enough, we attack both sides. The girls who are too skinny and have these disorders, and then there's people who are like on the other end, and we can't say anything because we're, it shouldn't be about shaming. It should just be about like, I should be able to tell you, hey, your weight is unhealthy. And it should be okay. It might not feel great to be told that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's totally understandable.
Yeah.
And it should be a conversation where like, hey, that doesn't feel nice.
Right.
To hear. Like
right.
the truth is always really difficult.
Totally.
To like accept for yourself. And
yes.
I sometimes think it's a barrier that people who are in these positions put, like when you tell them, like, you're shaming me. I'm not shaming you.
Yeah.
I just own it, and it's okay, and then that's part of the journey.
Absolutely.
You know?
And I think there's a time and a place, and you have to be aware of your relationship to the person. You can tell a loved one, I'm concerned about your weight, but it may not be an appropriate thing to say to someone that you barely know.
Oh, yeah, or a stranger. Like, you don't just want to go up to someone and say,
right.
hey, you're big, you got to lose weight.
Right.
And if you do a stranger, you know, because sometimes with family, you tell them and they're just as aggressive. I've experienced that my whole life.
It's very,
my family's
a very
like,
sensitive topic.
Yeah, but I think it's sensitive because of, you know, the insecurity in people. And I think, are you really loving yourself
mm-hmm.
the way you're claiming with this body positive? When
mm-hmm.
the minute I tell you a fact
mm-hmm.
or something that's truthful,
mm-hmm.
you get so defensive and aggressive.
Mm.
Are you? Like, so I always try to analyze that, and I'm sensitive. I mean, I have tons of insecurities. The minute someone tells me something, I go to the back room and cry. But then I'm like, you know what? It's because it's something that I struggle with.
Yeah.
It hit a nerve.
Right.
But they're not mean. They're not an asshole for saying it. It's just something there, and someone else saw it. And they might mean well, they might not, but it's a truth. Some people do mean well, right? Some other people just want to like bash you and make you feel bad, and they find joy in that. But it's mostly about you.
Yeah.
About how you take what other people say and say, well, is it true? Is it not? If it is true, can I do something better about it? And how do I move forward in that journey? But people don't really speak about the journey. Refinery 29 does a good job at giving a lot of voices.
Mm-hmm.
But even them, it's still like, I want to hear.
Yeah, that's why I want more women to have podcasts. And I want more women to talk to women on podcasts, because the journey, you don't get enough with like a post, right?
Right.
I mean, you do a great job on Instagram. Everyone listening, please follow.
Oh, thank
you. I'll link to your.
I try. It's a struggle, Instagram, for me. Because I think like, am I writing too much? Do people care?
Oh, I read all your captions.
Amazing.
I love them.
I'm just like, do I say more? Then I was thinking about like starting to do like physical interviews, but I'm like, the thing of like wanting it to be the
perfect.
So I haven't done it.
Just do it and don't wait for it to be perfect.
Yeah.
Okay, my final question for you. When do you feel most beautiful?
I think I feel the most beautiful after my Sunday, like after I've cleaned my house and I've like done like it for me, like have a minute a day where I'm making myself, enhancing myself, right?
Yeah.
So I don't wear makeup or anything, but when I wash my hair and I take a day and I'm listening to music and I'm just being me in my like truest, sloppiest Dominican form.
Just taking that time.
Yeah, just taking that time for me, and I'm not dissecting myself in the mirror and just like knowing that I'm like taking a moment and putting on this cream and I feel good to be doing that and like my skin is exfoliated or whatever. That, not the action of it, but like just being present in that moment, I feel so good. Because when I finish with the whole thing, I'm like, ah, I'm like a person again.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's beautiful. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your story. It's been so amazing to meet you.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This has been amazing.
Of course.
Hope I didn't chat too much.
No,
I can chat
great.
Forever.
You were great. You were great. All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.